Ramsey TV.
Welcome to the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula.
And I've hijacked
two people to join me at the edge of the bottom. Actually, no, I didn't hijack them. This gentleman, whose name is Dakota, he's been writing me saying, my woman and I are coming to Florida. We're going to talk about his woman in a bit. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you out of this. And I have a hard time sometimes catching my emails, and you had to pursue me, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. You say you're lonely, but...
Yeah, he said you're lonely. Why can't you answer me? Why can't you answer me? I want to visit you. This is Dakota, and this is Ellie Mae. And you are actually, your mom named you after...
Ellie Mae Clampett.
Ellie Mae Clampett. I think you should legally change your name to Jethro.
Yeah, I could.
Then you'd be Jethro and Ellie Mae. That'd be exciting to me. I would like that a lot. All right. So, as usual, I'm going to ask these wonderful people. I just met them this morning. We had breakfast at Boca Chino's on the beach. And so they're from California, Bakersfield. Right?
Yep.
And Bakersfield is a beautiful city, right, my friend?
No.
No?
No. No. It's a rough little den, shindig down there.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I've been watching you from, just like everyone else, for a long time down there. And just dealing with as much as possible in the Dust Bowl. Because it's just a valley full of,
really?
Surrounded by mountains. And it's just nothing.
But are the mountains at least beautiful?
When it rains.
Are the mountains beautiful?
When it rains, yeah.
Oh, it doesn't rain a lot?
The air quality is so bad, it covers up the mountains. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is.
Oh, Bakersfield's not a good place.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's going to get snatched away to Bakersfield. So that's good. Let me move the camera and with that. Yeah. I like to make these live adjustments. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so the route that these two have taken is incredible, and I want them to tell you about it, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody who has suffered more persecution from family than you have. So I want to talk about that. How did you two meet? I mean, just briefly.
Through his sisters. We were friends growing up, me and his sisters, and... kind of just met through them.
Being close and family.
And you're both believers.
Now? Well, I wasn't for a while, but yeah. I mean,
yeah, so explain that to me, Dakota. You told me, I think your dad started, like, watching this show. Wait a minute, before I go there, tell me about your religious background.
Okay.
Hardcore Christian.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Hardcore Christian.
You go first.
You go first.
Okay. All right, so back in Georgia... our family used to be hardcore Baptist. My dad was a child's youth pastor, you know, teaching the same message as everyone else. And, you know, you're going to die if you get tortured big time if you don't love your daddy.
By God.
Yeah.
God's going to torture you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, that got to him. It got to him over there. And you imagine telling that to a crowd of kids. I mean, anyone that God injects a heart of wisdom, I don't know, I think you're going to have a sense of, man, should I be telling these kids that they're going to be freaking... tortured.
So you grew up in Georgia, and this is your dad telling you this stuff?
He was
a pastor.
Yeah, he was a youth
pastor. What denomination was?
Just Baptist.
Okay. Baptist. Just Baptist? That's one of the worst.
Yeah, that's one of the worst. Yeah, it's the most. Yeah, but it got to him asking questions in the church, couldn't take it, started asking questions, and sure enough, that created a whole bunch of eyes, put a whole bunch of eyes on our family within the church, and they were even coming over to our house to make sure that he wasn't potentially doing something to us kids, or we weren't devil worshiping, or
yes, we don't want you to devil worship, but we do want you to believe in the God that tortures people when they die.
Yeah,
like that's safe, you know.
Yeah, makes sense.
Kids aren't being abused; they're just learning about a God who tortures people forever. But that was no problem. They didn't want you to be taught anything that doesn't go along with a Christian lineup. So did your dad then rebel against
him? Oh, yeah.
Big time?
Oh, yeah.
What did the church think of that?
Yeah, they kicked him out. You know?
They kicked him out.
What
a shocker.
You know? And from there on, we were your typical Christian, you know, not... I mean, you know, even at that time, I think we were still... we didn't know what to do with hell. Did you disconnect there?
Yeah, I always do. It happens every third show or so. I make some gross movement and I disconnect myself. All right, so your dad got kicked out?
Yeah, so he got kicked out. And from there on, I think it was really just swallowing the pill of the hypocrisy within the church and the corruption within the church and the influence that they have within the church. Mm. And so we just moved on. So we swallowed that pill. Okay, church, no, bad, okay? Next pill was, you know... God putting dad through the phase of, man, you don't know me at all because you still believe in this whole hell ordeal. I still believe that I'm going to do this to your people. And I mean, my dad would get to the point to where, you know, he's at up in the early in the morning, looking at the window, you're telling me, like, man, I don't know you. I don't actually know who you are.
He would look out the window at God and say, I don't even know you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's profound, man.
Yeah, he would. And then from there on, that was the next pill to swallow was, you know, hell. And so it turned into, once we were able to learn about that, hell, which you learned through you. And amazingly enough, he didn't see free will at all or learn to
so he saw
sovereignty.
The salvation of all first, and then
he saw hell first.
Okay, there's no hell. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then he went to...
Which is basically the salvation of all, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But then, except for annihilators. Except for the annihilators.
Oh, that's right. Did he go from hell to annihilation, or did he go right to the salvation
never truly,
of all?
He never settled truly annihilation. I did. I went to annihilation.
Well, it is better than eternal torment.
It is, yeah. That's what I said. I was like, man, at least that makes more sense. At least I can serve someone like that that's actually going to just end a life instead of keeping it alive for no good reason except for torture. But, yeah, and then he pulled me along that train, too, because I was always intrigued, and I was never okay with it as a kid. The hell, I'd cry in bed, scared.
Really?
Scared.
You took it seriously.
Yeah, I took it seriously, begging him not to, you know, oh, man, please forgive me about this. What do I need to do? Teach me what I need to do so I don't go to hell.
Wow.
Alone almost all the time, crying in my bed.
Jeez.
Yeah.
For some reason, I never took it that seriously as a kid. I don't ever remember suffering to that degree.
Cause, oh, yeah.
Like I told you, my family, we were bad Catholics, which is the best kind of Catholic, bad Catholic. But you took it seriously, and then did your dad see that suffering you were going through, thinking about it? And
we both were going through the same thing.
At the same time.
Yeah, and so when he was watching your videos out in the garage, you know, at late night keeping, because it was a controversial topic to
at late night, it's like stealth. He's watching stealth under.
Yeah, stealth
under the cover, yeah, from the garage. I like that. I like that vision of him just like getting in the garage.
Yeah, and me peeking my head out through the garage, and he's like, Coda, come here.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, Coda, come here.
He called you, and I was like, get.
Yeah. Look at this. Watch this with me. What do you think? And then we'd stand out there underneath the stars in Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And just be talking about it. And I was just like, I remember being like, man, that makes way more sense. You know, of this torture chamber being taken out of the picture. And then, I mean, it wasn't until 2019, right? The free will entered the picture when he was able to confidently say, just like you've done with your work, you made sure you covered all the nooks and crannies. He did the same before he could come to me and tell me, like, hey, son, there's no free will. God's in control of everything.
Oh, wow. That's a responsible father, really. Yeah. He didn't want to give you bad information. He wanted to have it solid in his own mind.
Yep. So
you guys started the journey.
And we fought.
From the garage.
And we fought.
You did?
Yeah, I fought him on it.
On what? On free will?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, Dad, what? No. Dad, no. Look at me right now. I could do this. I could do that, you know?
See, nobody's making me do this.
Yeah, like, I'm in control. And he's just, like, standing there, you know, with patience and grinning, like, okay, son. And he just continuously and just calmly walked me through it. And I get so frustrated, but I know my dad, and I know he's not content with his answer unless he understands his answer. And I know he doesn't understand something unless he truly understands it, if that makes any sense. So I was like, you know what? It bugs me that he's so comfortable saying this and believing it. I have to dig deeper myself, and I got to look at this. Because my dad believes in it. Man, there's got to be something to it.
Yeah.
And so I got onto that. And sure enough, I mean, even just listening to you speak, which was amazing myself, because I was like, oh, my God, I've heard this man speak. And I don't remember hearing free will from Zender.
Really?
Even though that's, like, all over your channel.
It's all over.
It trips me out.
You're selective hearing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, or God was just like, not yet.
Do you remember any particular show that got to you? Well, you mentioned that 99.999% video.
Yeah, that one was a big one, actually. Yeah, that was a big one. The magnet at the end of the refrigerator. You know, God's the final straw that pushes you over the edge, supposedly, according to Christians, but then you have to make that final decision.
Yeah.
That Jesus, actually
Jesus takes
you
up right to the line. He does everything, but unfortunately, everything he does is not enough.
Yeah, it doesn't work until you make.
So his death didn't save any. The practical result of that is his death didn't save anybody.
Yeah,
that's bizarre, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna link that video down here to you guys. It's called the 99.99% syndrome. I think it's called.
That's a classic.
Christians just kind of whitewashed. Like, I said, well, God does. Thanks. God does 99.99% and did that 99.9% work? Well, no. But you only do 0.001, And it's all whitewashed. They think that because they give themselves such a minuscule percentage, but that's the percentage that gets the job done.
Yeah.
It's the 0.0001 that does everything. So it's just whitewashed. They might as well say, they might as well reverse the numbers. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jesus does 0.001 and you do 99%. The result's the same as your end of the bargain is what?
Well, baby, it's like that thing I was telling you the other day where it's like a corporate thing where Christianity is like, you know, he has the title Savior of All Humanity, but in parentheses.
Yeah. You know? Except for you, you lousy sinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the TV commercials. You can get this many shows, but then at the end it's like, plus you have to pay like this many more
dollars. Yeah, there's always a catch. Now, you had a... You grew up in organized religion as well.
Yes. I grew up in the church.
Which
same
church
as
was
him,
that?
Baptist.
A Baptist?
Yeah. Yeah, I was raised in the church from birth until I learned the truth.
And you didn't know... You haven't known him for very long. How long have you known him?
I've known him for a while.
Like what's a while? 3 weeks?
No, like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. But I didn't know of her for a while.
It's been like 4 years that we've like, you know.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You guys are a beautiful couple. I'm always so happy to see people in love. It's a wonderful thing. Now, did you have as hard a time with the doctrine of eternal torment as Dakota did? Or
No. It was actually fairly easy for me. More so the free will was easier for me to understand because just the fact, like, I knew all the things that happened in my life weren't stuff that I chose, weren't stuff that anyone else around me chose. Like, being sexually abused, I knew it didn't come from us. Mm. It didn't come from, you know, it came from him. And so that was really easy for me to learn, and it helped me a lot let go of, you know, the anger and the pain I had towards my abuser. But eternal torment, it wasn't that hard for me. It was a little hard considering, like, I felt like I was supposed to believe, you know, like, if there's no heaven, there's no hell. If there's no hell, there's no heaven, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but over time, it got easier, and it happened pretty quickly, I feel like, right?
For hell?
Yeah, like my understanding on it.
Yeah, it was kind of easy.
Did you see God as an abuser, too? I mean, you had some terrible experiences. You told me more details at breakfast, and you've had a harrowing walk. It's a wonder you're sitting here.
Trust me, she is who she is.
That gets to me, yeah. It's like what you've overcome is incredible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some people who go through that, they think that, you know, God is also an abuser. And I don't know, did you ever look at God that way when you thought about eternal torment?
I mean, I would get mad at God all the time. Like, is that really what's going to happen? You know, growing up in the Christian church, there's certain things that you believe that are going to send you to hell. Being gay, like killing somebody. It's like certain things that people do.
Or suicide, even. They say suicide is the fast lane to hell.
Yeah. My sister died of suicide, and so that, just thinking about her ending up there, it's too hard. I can't believe it, you know. But so much more comforting.
Well, yeah, it seems like you had some kind of spiritual instinct that managed to overcome the doctrines you were learning at the church, that something about it you knew was wrong. Well, you told me the same thing, Dakota, that even when you were a kid, well, I'm kind of confused about it because you thought that this can't be right, and yet it still tormented you. You were crying in your bed every night. So there was this battle going on for you, really, you know, like Satan and God. I mean, we know that there's not a life and death struggle with Satan and God, but in the relative, you know, Satan was pulling on you to believe that stuff.
Right.
But the Spirit of God wanted you and had you, so it was just a matter of you struggling your way out of it.
Right.
What kind of relief did you feel when you found out?
Oh, my gosh. After fighting my dad, no, that was free will. But when it came to, hell, I was like, well, duh. No, duh. You know, no shit. Pardon my French.
Hey, we use those words here on MCT. Yeah. Compliments of MC.
That's the only reason I felt comfortable, because I've heard him say words before.
Yeah, you,
and I love it. But
yeah, see, to those of you who don't like me to use bad words, some people love it.
Yeah, if it's like
he loves it. Do you love it?
He's like me.
Do I love it?
Yeah,
I love it.
Thank you. Good answer. That was a great answer. Okay, now look at this thing swinging around.
Being in the church was hard for me because I still lived with the man that abused me, you know, for 6 years of my life. And so just seeing him take us to church and sit in church and worship, you know, it was so
hard. What a hypocrite.
Right.
He's sitting there worshiping.
Exactly. Like, imagine how many others, you know, are in there just, oh, Jesus, Jesus, you know. It's just sad.
Oh, that's horrible.
I couldn't. And so when I heard of this, I was like, yeah, totally. Makes total sense.
Yeah, I was free.
Yeah, well, you it's the old contrast principle again. You know, God's always using that. But I bet there, you're right. I think there's so many hypocrites like that. Mm-hmm. If we only knew, you know. I mean, people always feel bad because they look out in the world and they see, why is everybody else so happy and I'm so miserable? But anybody who would abuse like that, they can't be happy inside, can they?
I don't think so. I mean, he said
and
demons,
so these people, they live lives of quiet desperation. Mm-hmm. And there are these hypocrites going to church. And I think of the people who crucified Christ. They're wearing these robes and they're walking around, the Pharisees and the priests, and they had murderous hearts.
Oh, I caught that when I was a kid, when I was a teenager too, in youth. I was talking to a pastor who's walking away, and I saw him. I saw his whole little garb he had on, you know, his robe, and this is how he did it. I was like, hey, I think his name is John. I was like, hey, John. He was like, call me Pastor John.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like,
call me Pastor.
Even as a kid, I was like, what? Like, your that title matters that much to you?
Yeah.
Really?
I remember I was doing a funeral for a friend, and this is after I'd been in this work, and he just wanted me to do the funeral. I don't like to do it. Please don't ask me to do your funeral. Yeah. First, don't die. No. Okay? Don't die.
Yeah.
And then it's all about me after that, right? Just, but I did a funeral, and I had a suit on and everything, and I was walking up the hill to the graveside, and the funeral came up to me and said, excuse me, Reverend. I said, I'm not reverend. Yeah. I'm the opposite of that. It's like, I hate somebody calling me. I said, I'm not reverend. Yeah. My name's Martin. Just call me Martin, not reverend. Okay, pastor. I'm not pastor. Oh, freaking, man. You know, I just hate those titles. I hate those titles. So how did you find out? I think from what I knew, you found out from him about the salvation of all.
Well, yeah. Completely, I found out from him. I mean, I heard of it. I heard of him believing of it. And so I did it myself while we were separated and not able to talk. So I was like, maybe I should start looking into this before we get together so that I'm prepared, you know. And I had one of the concordant Bibles. So
that's great.
Yeah, I just dove into it a little bit. And then when he brought it up to me, once we were able to talk again, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
You didn't fight him at all. It's natural to you.
Yeah, it was. I was jealous almost of like how she's like, oh, yeah, no problem.
See, you had it in you the whole time. You had the spiritual instinct. What I say, you have the antenna for the truth, but you never heard the broadcast. Like, you have an antenna set for, as I like to say, like 105.7, right? But that 105.7, the salvation of all, was never broadcast. But as soon as you heard it, ding, 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 it registered with you, and you said, that has to be true. And that probably you thought it was true before you even heard the proof of it, right?
Oh, yeah. But just hearing it, I was like, oh, wow. Just that sounds it. A lot better, you know?
Yeah, it bothered me
That's
so
a lot
much.
Better.
What? It bothered me so much that it was easy for her. Really? I was even like...
He was doubting me.
I was started doubting. I was like, are you believing this just to be with me? Like, you know? Man. I was even making sure of that because I was like, how is this so like simple for you? Like, you did the research too? You know what I'm talking about. You sure? You know, you're not just saying this to be with me, right? You know?
Oh, that was a... He had a good point. Were you offended when he thought that you were...
Oh, yeah. I was like, yes. I was like, are you joking? I kept asking him days after, why did you ask me that? It really bothered me.
Rude. Shame on you, son. That was rude. You're lucky she stayed with you after that.
Yeah, I was.
So then... Well, how did you get the concordant version?
His sister.
My sister.
Handed it
now,
over.
Now, how does your sister play into this?
Now, she... You know, they're... So my dad, when we found this information, got a hold of our concordant Bibles and everything. I even bought the poster, and it's at my house right now, up on the wall.
Oh,
the calendar.
Aeonian calendar.
Yeah, Aeonian calendar.
That's what you're hardcore, man.
Yeah, I love it. I look at that every day. I'm like, that's where we are, and it needs to end.
You are here at the end of the end.
Yeah,
you're
like, babe, come on.
Yeah, I always do that.
Like, babe, I see this every day.
What does he do?
He's like, babe, come look at the poster. I'm like, babe, I see come, this all the time.
Babe, come look at the poster. A poster of the Aeonian times. Who says that? That's so great. You guys are hardcore, man. Yeah. Come see the Aeonian calendar.
But yeah, my sister, she
when we found this out, we started sharing the Bible with my mom and sisters, and they had their foot in it for a good little bit. They had it in there for a while, and
but then what happened?
The catastrophe happened. The final straw, the final push, you know, other things that took place, and unfortunately, but yeah, I mean, they still have it with them. They still have it with them. It's just not exploded within yet. She had lended her Bible to her, and she ended up getting to keep it. Because,
Now, what kind of persecution did you suffer when you came around to the truth, and who?
Yeah.
Who was the worst? You don't have to say if you don't want, because you're afraid they're going to be watching.
My family.
You know, persecutors.
Yeah. No, we love them no matter what, but family's family. But, yeah, family's at the same family. Time,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is when it's being done. And during that time, we came under some hardships of, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Just different stranger behavior that kind of increased over time. And I wouldn't want to say maybe it was even because of the truth alone, but even that starts getting used against you eventually. Mm-hmm. Oh, you believe in this, so therefore, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, well, we can't talk about it because you won't even have a sit down with me about it, you know? We can't talk about the truth. You keep wanting to use it against me, but at the same time, you won't talk about it.
Yeah.
You won't listen. So there's only so far you can go with that, you know? And it's when it's your own family, it's you got a big reaction, too, at first, you know?
What about you, Ellie Mae? Are you willing to talk about the persecution that you suffered? Because it was far worse from what I heard than what the COVID.
I mean, gosh.
You can only talk about if you're comfortable about it.
But. Yeah. I mean, like he said, family's family. I love my family, but they strongly, strongly disagree and make that point known.
No, we're cold. We're accused. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. But
no, yeah, my mom, she's highly set that we're cult leaders and all the things, but.
Hey, I'm the cult leader. Would you put that back in my freaking earphone tank while I'm doing it? This is nice to have guests here that can help me out. Oh, perfect. Thank you, my son. Thank you, my faithful servant.
But yeah, my family, extended family, some friends, like lots of people.
Yeah.
But
it's so weird. How bad? I mean, does anybody actually shun you, refuse to talk to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom will go on weeks without talking to me, days without talking to me, and I'll be like, hey,
because
mom,
of this.
Yeah.
It was fine before that, kind of, sort of. Well,
not really.
But it definitely got worse.
Yeah. And there's our love story invested into that. That holds a lot of baggage, too. We're 8 years apart. You know, we love each other when she was just 16. You know, and, you know, we didn't do anything, but just for that love alone.
Ringo sang about that. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine. You ever heard that song, Ringo Starr?
Yeah.
But now you're 18, at the ripe old age of 18.
Yeah.
And 8 years apart is nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Love is love, man.
Well, it's ironic, too, because everyone else had at least, you know, 15 years separation.
Everyone in our circle, even my mom, I mean, she was married to someone 15 years older than her, and now she's with someone 6 years younger than her, so I'm like, I don't understand.
I hate to say this, but what room do they have to talk then, you know?
I know. Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Well, the argument is, I've been through down that road, it's terrible, you know?
Right.
Oh, I see. So they don't,
yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do, because I'm going to spare you suffering. So I guess there's some noble...
But I'm also a human and have to experience my own experiences, so...
Yeah, you guys are truly in love. It's awesome.
Yeah. No one wanted to give an ear for that, so...
You what?
No one wanted to give an ear for that at all. No? The possibility of us actually being in love.
Right.
It had to be a perverted thing. It had to be a wrong thing. And it still is that way. And unfortunately, my mother and sisters are, they're on that same side now. Oh, it's perverted all of a sudden, even though they used to be with me, holding, you know.
Just because of the age difference.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
But or the fact that you fell in love with her when she was 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
It freaked out over that.
I'm a pervert. I'm a pedophile, you know.
No. Yeah. He's not in either of those things, is he?
No.
He's a beautiful far from guy.
I've seen those things. You're not one of
you
them.
You have seen those things. Unfortunately, you witnessed that. So has the truth brought you two closer together? I mean, he's calling you to look at the Onion chart. I mean, it takes great love to Okay, I'll look at your Ionian chart if I must. No, but do you guys like talk about this all the time, or how do you in it?
It's daily. I mean, we watch your videos daily, and we talk about them afterwards all day, honestly. Wow. We just all throughout the day talk about it.
Fantasize how the ending is coming.
We're constantly, it's never tiring to talk about how close we think it's coming.
Yeah, I'll just be like, what are you thinking about? He's like, oh, just being snatched away. And I'm just like, okay.
Well, that's so interesting because you two are so young, and most people would say, oh, you have your whole lives ahead of you, so why would you want to?
Oh, no.
Our life ahead of us is up there. That's what we're...
That's beautiful. You know? Oh, I love that. Yeah. That was beautiful.
This place isn't inviting at all.
I'm glad you said that. That was something. What?
No, this place isn't inviting at all.
It's not inviting. It's an evil eon. It's an evil place. I don't know how anybody wants to spend another day here.
And then when you contain this too, it's, man, you get isolated. Look at you. Look at us. We all get it. You just get isolated.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, thank God. I mean, but you have friends. And now, after this video goes out, you're going to have friends all over the world. You're going to have friends all over the world, and I have friends all over the world, and people love me, and they're going to love you, but the problem is they're not here. You know, we need flesh and blood is a nice thing.
Well, if y'all are in California.
Yeah.
We're there.
God makes sure that everybody's spread out. That's the frustrating thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't want us to garner strength or anything. He doesn't want us... Well, this thing will never become a, like, movement, right? It's always going to be one here, one there. God's going to make sure that that's not perfectly organized. You two have witnessed firsthand how organized I am, like setting up this show. They've seen behind the scenes, folks. Now, I hope you're not too disappointed, but it's always a hassle. Every show is like this. I was explaining it to him. Every show is a struggle.
Yeah.
I'm not on autopilot. I'm never on autopilot, people. Never. Every show's a struggle. I never know if it's going to come out good. I never know if it's going to happen. I never know anything. So it's always a miracle. But people are going to love this story. So you're here till Monday, right?
Yep.
We're going to go see Manfred tomorrow night. He's going to find out about it for the first time here. We're coming, Manfred. Get the grill fired up. No, I already told him. It's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that you badgered me until I answered my email. Thank you.
Yeah. Finally got you.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. He reeled me in, man. And the way he got me was, you say you're lonely. Why don't you answer my freaking email? You were nicer than that. But
yeah.
Well, thank you, Ellie Mae and Jethro. I mean, Dakota. I mean, Dakota.
Jethro.
That's funny. She actually named you after Ellie Mae of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yep.
Yeah.
A real Beverly Hillbilly fan, that woman, eh?
Oh, yeah. Her and my Nana.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, you two. I'm looking forward to some more fellowship before they leave. And I owe my audience another part of the dreaded video, Seven Things I Didn't Know About Prophecy. So I am going to continue that, but I couldn't not talk to these beautiful people like as soon as possible and get this information to you, because my audience loves, they're isolated too. No matter where they are, people are isolated, so they love to meet other believers. So here they are, they're alive and well. They're young, and they get it, and they love it, and they're living in California, and they hate it, and they might move to Florida, right?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not revealing a secret here.
No, you're not. No.
Okay, nope. Good. No, I don't want Okay, Why so not? I hope they come down to Florida. And if anybody wants to come down and have some fellowship here, you're welcome. Just be careful. Be careful, because I'm going to hijack you and make a show with you.